Well, it was interesting to know that quite a few of you people here I still recognize. What's your name, though? And that's one of the problems of old age. You know, you easily forget things. But yes, it was good to see the children here. And this isn't Joseph and Mary. This is Kyle and Adrian, my grandson and granddaughter. And that's not little Jesus, but he's about as near to it as I can come. He looks just like me. And I'm glad to have them. Well, I got to meet some of you, and some of you I've known, some of you I've met this year, and didn't know that you were worshiping here. I'm glad to see you here. But Nola came up to me and gave me a squeeze. Oh, I can't wait to hear you. And I said, I can't wait to hear you. And so I've asked her and her trio to come together and sing us a song. Where are they at? I'll pay you back.
Not very good voice this morning, but we'll do our best. Spending time together with the family, sharing lots of love and happiness.
Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody sing. Jesus, we remember it's your birthday.
Come because of something good. Celebrations we love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem, the greatest celebration of them all.
Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody sing. Jesus, we remember it's your birthday. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody sing. Jesus, we remember it's your birthday.
Sing with us.
Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody sing. Jesus, we remember it's your birthday. Jesus, we remember it's your birthday.
Wasn't that great? I'd just soon listen to them the rest of the day myself. You know, I've heard myself enough times that I know good music when I hear it. Sheila told me that not to be too far on this side because I get off the camera, so probably I'll stand over here most of the time. I never was one that liked to see myself in pictures or on. I look like Oral Roberts, and that's scary. But it's so good to be here and to see you all, and we certainly want to honor our Lord. You know, when I, growing up as a young man, grew up on the farm. My dad was a dairy farmer and grain farmer. And all my childhood life, Christmas was all about Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And that's pretty much how I grew up, believing in Santa Claus. And I hope he doesn't mind that I say this about him. But I always thought that it, unless there was a Santa Claus and I could get presents on Christmas, then I was satisfied that I'd had Christmas. And most of us kind of enjoy gifts. I know Richard does. But most of us enjoy receiving gifts, and most of us enjoy the family get-togethers. And all of those things are, in our, at least in most of our lives, that's been Christmas to us. And I don't know why the Lord kept insisting that I go this direction. Never thought about it before. But it starts out with a question. What is Christmas? You know, is it the songs we sing? And they're lovely. We had beautiful songs this morning. The choir songs were great. And a couple of them I didn't quite know completely, but they were good songs. Is it the songs? Is Christmas about the music? You know, what is Christmas? Is it the lights, the beautiful lights that adorn the farmhouses, the lights that are in our cities, that on our storefronts, the loud music playing, trying to draw us in? You know, what is Christmas? Is it our family get-togethers? The meals? The fun time? You know, the overeating part, you know? And turn on the TV and watch the football game or golf or whatever we're into. What is Christmas? As a child, Christmas was all about what I could get, all about what made me happy. You know, there was five of us kids and my family growing up, and mom and dad didn't have a lot of money. They had to scrape for everything they had. And so, you know, I see my grandkids and my great-grandkids, and I look under the Christmas tree on Christmas, and my goodness, they've got more toys than I had in a lifetime. You know, is that Christmas? And of course, you know, there's Black Friday, Purple Thursday. I don't know if there's a Purple Thursday or not. I just made that up. But there are all these calls out there trying to bring us in to spend our money. And quite frankly, there's so many families that overspend and are in financial trouble because of Christmas. What is Christmas? Is it all about the things around us, the things that we think make us happy? What is Christmas? What is Christmas to you? What does it mean to you? You know, the scripture in Luke chapter 2 talks about the birth of Jesus. Talks about the angel coming down and in the midst of those shepherds out in the field tending their flocks, and announced to them that the Savior had been born. And they came into that cave and that inn where the baby was lying in the manger, and they rejoiced, exceedingly glad to see that Savior that was born. Went into the town and went all through that community announcing that a Savior had been born. And you know, the thing I reflected on after reading that part of Scripture, I realized that at least it wasn't recorded if it happened. Nobody from town came out to see the newborn Savior. Interesting, isn't it? And, of course, Matthew talks about the wise men, the Magi. Where's the girl? Where's the lady that told you? Yes, she is. Talks about them coming somewhere in the vicinity of 2 years later and coming to the house and bringing gifts and worshiping this newborn child. You know, I have to confess that down through the years, Santa Claus has always been a part of my Christmas celebration. How about you? How many of you still talk about Santa Claus, huh? Good old Saint Nick? Yeah. We must never tell our kids that that's not real. That's what we were told, wasn't it? Don't tell your kids there's no Santa Claus. But maybe we should tell them there's something different than a Santa Claus. Santa Claus can only bring us gifts wrapped up in pretty paper. But God is the only one that can give us a gift that brings us eternal life. You know, I think sometimes we look over the fact that Jesus has come as Emmanuel, God with us, that God sent his son down here to show us a little bit of what God is like and give us an idea that there's something waiting for us beyond this life. I was talking to someone just the other day and I told him that, you know, I kept asking God, I said, now, Lord, I would like to go home before I reach 80. It's too late. You know? But the guy that I was talking to said, are you really that anxious to go, to die? And I said, you know, if you believe that what's in the Scriptures, that there's something better over there, wouldn't you rather be there? Wouldn't you rather be where it's better? And I think on Christmas, maybe there ought to be more time introducing Jesus to our families and realizing that God is with us. I look at my little Jesus here, and I'm thankful that we finally have a boy in the family. Well, of course, Kyle's a boy, but but here we have this little guy, and he's actually the fourth generation that carries my middle name, Wayne, which was my father's name. And so that makes him pretty precious to me. And there's one thing that I want to make sure is that Christmas is more than unwrapping gifts and singing songs and going shopping and having dinner, family dinners. I want him to know that Jesus died for him. You know? Jesus died for every one of us in this building, has offered everyone to us, offered to each of us a gift. And that gift is the gift of salvation. We heard an evangelist just not very long ago preaching a sermon, and he made this comment. He said, unless you're different, you're not saved. At first it sounded just a little harsh, but then when you think about what Paul said to the Romans, he said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are gone. Behold, all things have become new. Speaks about different, doesn't it? That there has to be a change in us, and that change comes not by our actions, but it actually comes by God in us. I'm always encouraged to realize and to find out and to remember that there is one greater in me, living in me, than the one that's in the world trying to destroy me. You know, the devil's a liar, a deceiver, and a murderer, the scripture tells us. And to just ignore the gift of God, just to ignore the invitation that God has given us to come to Him through Jesus, His Son, just to ignore that, to make no choice at all, is to be lost. The road that leads to destruction is wide, the Bible says. You know, a lot of people can get on a wide road. But the interesting thing that comes after that is, as the scripture says, but the way that leads to life is narrow, and only a few are finding it. I asked a preacher here not too long, I said, why was that word included in getting on the narrow, finding that road? But there wasn't anything said like that about the wide road. It just seemed we're just kind of on it. And I remember sharing a sermon one time about that, that all of us begin on that wide road. Every one of us are on that wide road. And on that wide road are off roads, just like on the interstates, there's exits. And all along this wide road, there are exits. And those exits are always pointing to Christ. And it's only when we get off one of those exits and get off of the wide road that we have hope of finding life everlasting. You know, there's no better master for us than Jesus. There's no better friend that we have than Jesus. And He has given us a gift of life and calls to us to offer ourselves to Him as living sacrifices, holy. And that is our reasonable service to Him. You know, this Christmas is coming up soon. What is it, on the 25th this year? And wouldn't it be neat if as families we could sit around or stand around the table and maybe make it a really special time about that Savior that was born. We celebrated on the 25th, or if we're Amish, it's in January sometime. Any Amish here? To stop and give time, not just casually pass over the fact that this is the birthday of Jesus, but to stop and think about it. That on that day, a very special event took place. An event that was never copied, only once. And that event was an event that changed the whole world that we live in. God has promised life to everyone who would receive His Son as Lord and Savior. And maybe there's someone here this morning that hasn't made that choice. You know, I know growing up, I wasn't a churchgoer. My mom and dad weren't that regular. Mother was a churchgoer, but dad wasn't. But I remember Carol and I were married, and we moved to a place in Lovington, and of course Carol, she's always a churchgoer, but she had her preacher come out that day to talk to me, and I remember him coming there, sitting there, and I'm thinking, I don't want to hear a word you've got to say. That's going on in my spirit. I don't want to hear a word you've got to say, preacher. You know, and I made it plain that I wasn't pleased to have him there. After being a preacher, I've been there a few times, you know, on the other side of that thing. But after I was saved, I went to that preacher and I apologized to him for the way I treated him and acted. And I'm glad that Jesus is able to make those changes in our lives and bring into us a whole new glimpse of what life is all about or what it can be all about. We get to enjoy all that God has given us, all the fruits of this life God has given us. We get to enjoy the singing of the songs, the lights. Carolyn enjoys the shopping. I enjoy the eating. And all of it, I think, is a part of Christmas. But Jesus has to be the central focus of our Christmas celebration. Today, a Savior has been born, and He's Jesus the Lord. I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to just stand up for just a minute, if you can. And I want you to just kind of bow your heads, and if it's comfortable for you, to close your eyes and just think for a few moments. Just think about Jesus. Have you asked Him to forgive you for your indifference down through life, for the sin in your life? You know, in the Garden of Eden, Jesus or God told Adam, said, "Don't eat from the tree in the center of the garden or you'll die." They ate. Even though Satan convinced them that they wouldn't die, they ate. And they died. Not a physical death, but a spiritual death. And Jesus, when Nicodemus came to Him that night, wanted information, Jesus told him, "Unless you're born again," you see, mankind died when he turned his back on God, disobeyed God. And there has to be a new birth to regenerate us, to bring us back into fellowship with God. And Jesus told Nicodemus, "Unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God." And to be born again is to believe right now in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess it with your mouth that He is Lord. Can you do that this morning? Will you do that this morning? If you've never come to that place of trust in God before, would you do that now? Heavenly Father, I pray that as your Spirit moves back and forth through this church, up and down each aisle, as you speak to each heart this morning, Lord, revealing your love for us, your word tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would have eternal life. And that promise is just as true today as it was the day it was printed in Word. Father, I pray that You would be with us as we leave this place today. May there always be in our mind the Lord walks with us, will never leave us, will never forsake us, but always walk with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas.